Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, all you movie fans, this is Real Nerds Podcast, and for over 13 years, every week we have seen a new movie and we have podcast our experience to the world. This week, we saw Deadpool and Wolverine. I am joined this week, as I am every week, with my good old friend Brad.
What's up, 720?
Yeah. Well, look at you. Next week going to be the 719 or the 970?
Isn't 719 like Fort Collins?
It is.
Yeah, we're Denver.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know we were just Denver. I thought we were Colorado based, you know,
well,
reaching out to everybody.
If I go further than that, you know, yeah, we are like a worldwide podcast. I'm going to have to like do all the area codes and
gotcha
that we dominate in. And it's just too many. So
it is too many to count.
I like Fort Collins. They have a great drive-in. So
they do. So stay tuned. We will recommend Deadpool and Wolverine or not, play the trailer, then spoil the film. We'll also talk about movie news this week, which is the big week with San Diego Comic-Con dropping some stuff on us and films they've watched throughout the week. But Brad, I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, and I can't believe I was right. And I can't believe you're alive right now. You participated in the 48-hour film festival project. And
for the 15th time, yes.
And not only that, but you got drama or musical.
How'd you predict that? I don't know, bro. I'm blaming you for cursing me with it.
It's like I know.
You wanted me to get it, so you make my life even more of a hell.
But did you feel like you got pushed, you know, creatively because it's something you've never done?
You know, when I got it, I was like, I was pretty frustrated at the kickoff. So on top of that, I've been sick this week. So I tested positive for COVID on Friday morning,
oh,
48. And earlier, 5 days earlier, I tested negative. So suddenly I'm in this like, what do I do now? Like, I obviously can't film with people. So I waited a few hours, tried it again, got a negative result, but still, you know, how do you go up to everyone and be like, I'm fine. I tested positive and then negative. and obviously I'm showing symptoms. So no one feels safe around me. So I can't film. And then I go to kickoff. I'm like standing at the back of the parking lot from everyone else filming, and just letting my proxies handle everything for me, the contact stuff. And yeah, I draw a drama musical, and I'm just like, ugh, ugh, bring it on. Like more like, okay, I'm going to do drama, obviously. Then I got in the car and I went, you know, so we had this plan with another team this year to do the same script, but different genre, right? So they're going to write something and then I'm going to take what they write and then form it to my genre. But I've got either musical or drama. And drama is like, okay, you know, they had disaster film and something else. I forget this point. But like, if they had like, I don't know, film de femme is like one of their genres, or like buddy film, you know, drama isn't probably going to be that different from what they do. ultimately. So mine needs to be different. And so I start settling the idea of like, maybe I have to do musical. And then I start to think, okay, well, Robert has always wanted to do death metal musical. Maybe this is finally his year. I haven't prepared him for this outcome. I kind of assumed that I would be a team of one this year, and I'm going to just like do some bullshit based off of what the other team does and just call it a weekend. But I'm driving. I'm like, you know, maybe Robert's free. I'll see, you know, worst can say is no, right? Yeah. And he was free. And so wow. Like, hey man, this is your time. Like, you've always wanted to do it. I'm not standing in your way. Do whatever you want. I don't give a shit. I just need to turn something in on Sunday and wait till next year. And so, yeah, he Saturday morning got started on it and wrote a little death metal musical for me. And then I had to figure out how to make that happen visually.
And so how did you make it happen?
Well, obviously, I couldn't film with the other team like I wanted, so I couldn't use their footage. Like, I couldn't use their actors for my thing. So what we did was, you know, I had tested negative, and then I posted, you know, I was kind of waiting for the footage from their team to get shot so I could figure out what I was going to do. So while I was waiting for that, I decided to start to work on the poster. I knew it was going to be based on a disaster movie they'd picked. So I was like, okay, Doomsday musical death metal. I can make that design. And so I made the poster. And then a couple hours later, Zach Bynes, texted me saying, hey, I saw you might be doing like a metal thing. Do you need some band shirts or something? Cause I got tons of those. I was like, you know what? Actually, I would love, like, I wish I could, but I might have COVID. I would love to just film, go to the bug and film a metal concert. And then I can splice that footage with the footage from the other team. He's like, dude, you know, we'll social distance, but I'll do it. Like, you can just set the camera up, go to the back of the theater. I'll be on stage and I'll have a guitar and we'll just film some B-roll of me pretending to do Robert's song. So that's what we did. I masked up. We went down there. And we knocked it out.
Nice.
So I had my own footage, and then eventually the other team's footage came in, and I cut them together into Doomsday, which you can watch August 11th at the Bug Theater at 3 p.m. But you should just buy the whole day's block and see all the team's films, because it's always pretty fun. But yeah.
So did they? What did they take from you then?
Yeah, I know. It's a little lopsided. Like, if the plan had gone better, you know, I think it would have been more cohesive. But I did their credits. You know, I had time to sit there and animate and things. So I did their titles and animation and their poster and all that.
So you're a creative force behind the scenes this year.
Yeah. If nothing else, like, I think this is the first time two teams have worked on each other's projects at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I got more out of the deal than them, you know, it's still like, I rarely see single people working on multiple teams, you know?
Yeah.
Over the weekend, like, usually everyone's like isolated into their own stuff, but yeah, we were able to cross paths and, make it harder for ourselves.
So, well, have you seen both films?
I have.
Which one's better?
How dare you, sir? Obviously mine. But no, they're both good. Yeah.
So did you totally edit it a different way too? Are they similar in structure and you just inserted the metal part?
I made them very different. Like, so like, if this had worked, if I hadn't gotten sick from moving all the Esquire stuff, ideally, I would have taken their script verbatim and shot with their actors. Like, they would have their footage. I would have taken some of it, but I would have, like, changed it and had them act to my genre, right? And had
oh,
my
I
own,
gotcha.
And had my own footage to work with and some of theirs, right? And so, you know, they would have basically had their idea in their script twice in the contest, but like, how would they grade it, you know? Like,
gotcha.
would one film get best use of line versus the other, even though the same actors are saying the same thing, you know? But like it really works better if like they got comedy and I got horror, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a drastically different look, but the bones of the thing are still there. So that's in our minds, that was how it was supposed to go. But like what ended up happening, because I couldn't be in their house, so I had to just like, you shoot your thing, and they didn't have a ton of footage either. So, you know, it's once I saw that, I was like, oh man, like what am I going to fill mine with? Cause I don't want to just like copy their edit. And, you know, I have to make this musical addition to it. So that's when, once Zach was available to shoot, I was like, oh, this is going to work. So nice. I can fill. And actually, by the end of it, I'd say like 70% of the footage is the metal concert. So it was more my footage than theirs. But the musical is based on their script. So
did Robert just write one song and Bynes is mimicking what Robert did, or did he perform Robert's song?
Yeah, so we ended up shooting the concert like I think late Saturday night. So already, like usually when we do the 48, we're done shooting by like 7 o'clock on Saturday. So like I said, I waited Friday night for a script, and then they started shooting, and I just had to like imagine what was going on, and then I just worked on graphic design, right? I just started getting everyone's credits in order, you know, because we're gonna have the same credits pretty much. And so designing those different styles. And then, yeah, so like by, I don't know, like 2 p.m. on Saturday, Robert had the song. And my directive was like, okay, you know, if you want to make this easy for yourself, like just take the script and do like Van Damme, where you just, all the lyrics are like the end of Ninja Turtles, where they just like recite the movie as a song, you know, everything that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it was a little more challenging for Robert than I expected. He seemed to struggle a bit. Like, I liked what he turned out, but he, you know, right away he's like, you're not gonna like this. And there's not a lot of lyrics. So what he did like is very minimalist and funny. But I also said, like, look, what we should do is like spend what, like we're only shooting for 4 minutes, right? That's the minimum length you have to have. So I'm going to do like a minute prologue thing with no music, right? And then, so now you only have to work with three. So take 1 minute to like really like come out there with like some hard metal, and then dip in the middle to where it's like mellow. And then the last minute, come back again with it.
Mm.
And so, yeah, just fill the time. And so that's the structure of it. So
nice.
But again, it clearly didn't alleviate too much for him, because he just couldn't put together a lot of lyrics. But so we had the MP3. I took it to the Bug. We could play it over the speakers there. And so Zach was able to stand there, and we heard that song a lot. And so, yeah, he just lip synced to it. And then
very cool.
You know, pretended to. So when you watch him play the guitar, obviously nerds are going to be like, those aren't the right notes. But it doesn't matter. We don't care. It's just like, it looks good enough. I edited the shit out of it. So there's just like tons of cuts, right? So good luck keeping track of everything. And then there's like some other cool stuff that I don't want to spoil, but like it was like a last minute addition that I think is going to be like, everyone who's seen it has been like, oh my God, that's so much fun. Thank you. It's like,
nice.
That's a good ad. So, yeah, can't wait to share it.
Good job as always.
Thanks. That was really in depth. Do we have time for the movie review?
Yeah. This week we saw Deadpool and Wolverine. Brad, do you recommend Deadpool and Wolverine?
Yes, so much yes. This movie was a ton of fun. My only knock on it, I didn't get a full 5 stars, is it's like so much of the movie is just a fourth wall break. I was like, I was desperate for a plot and just the story to happen. Very thin, but everything else around it is so much fun. You know, just kind of this big love letter to the end of Fox Marvel, that I think everyone needed in this kind of down Marvel time. Just kind of lifts everything up to like all these dangling threads that have never been resolved get resolved in this film. So yes, this movie's awesome. Probably the best thing this year at this point. Go see it. I mean, everyone's already seen it. It's going to break all the box office records.
Yeah, this movie was a lot of fun. And I think you hit it right off the bat is, you know, I kept on waiting for something this year to make me happy. I have movies that I like this year, but I think overall this year, it felt there's nothing that's really broke through for me. And this movie definitely did. From the opening, I was on board almost immediately into this film.
Oh my God. The women in my audience for that opening, like screaming like they were at a concert. It was nuts.
Really?
Yeah. So annoying.
That's awesome. It's fun. Here's a trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine.
I know I turn everything into a joke, but I care. Or I want to use that for something important. I waited a long time for this team up. In my world, you're well regarded. You were an X-Man. Fuck that, you were the X-Man. The Wolverine. He's a hero in my world. Yeah, well, he ain't shit in mine. Scott used to beg me to wear this suit. So did Storm, the Beast. But I couldn't have him thinking I wanted to be there. And it was too late.
It's only 9 people, but my entire world is right here in this picture. And I have no idea how to save it alone, but you know how to save them.
Whoever you think I am. You got the wrong guy.
You were always the wrong guy. Till you weren't.
Are you ready? Fuck yeah, I'm ready. I'm the Wolverine. Stop it.
So you're right. The plot is not that big.
Not that deep.
It is literally Deadpool's world is going to cease to exist on an accelerated rate because the TVA from Loki and all this multiverse stuff in the fifth phase of Marvel. So he's they want to bring him into the MCU is basically what's happening. And Deadpool decides he's going to use Wolverine, who is what's the name of an anchor?
Anchor being
to help him save his world and basically tell the TVA to go fuck themselves. And he ends up in the wasteland where we meet a lot of 20th Century Fox and New Line Cinema superheroes. And yeah, that's basically the story. But I love too, because throughout this whole process, Hugh Jackman said he would only do it if they promised to not mess with Logan, because he thought that was a perfect ending for his character of Wolverine.
Yeah, and not shit on the legacy of Logan. Yeah.
Yeah, the first 5 minutes is Deadpool
literally desecrating his corpse. Yeah.
And desecrating the corpse.
Yeah.
And that just sets the tone for the whole movie, because now everything is so on its nose and meta that you have to just basically buckle in and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, because... so much of the movie is like the TVA is literally Marvel trying to like prune their multiverse, and nothing is like nuanced about it. Like,
and what was fun too is it had the vibe of, you know, Deadpool's gonna see Avengers Age of Ultron and things like that, and that never came to pass. It was more of, you're right, it was basically burying the 20th Century Fox Marvel movies and ushering it into the MCU.
Yeah.
And I mean, my favorite cameo is Chris Evans as Johnny Storm, because it's
there's so many I was surprised at how many cameos and surprises there actually were that hadn't been spoiled for me yet.
No, me too.
And that was just the first big one. And when he gets his skin ripped off, oh my God. I was like, wow, they're not pulling any punches on this one.
No. Well, because what's great too about that moment is when they go, I can't remember. What's the name of the villainess in this?
Cassandra.
Yeah, Cassandra.
Something. Cassandra Nova.
Yeah, where Wade Wilson is saying, man, he's saying that you're like a cum dumpster and all this stuff. And he's like, I would never fucking say that. What are you talking about? And then he gets, you know, turned inside out.
Yeah.
And then the tag scene is him actually saying that and way worse.
Deadpool's
like, awesome.
Got you, fuckface. Yeah.
Great. There is some great human elements. I think Hugh Jackman in this movie is great.
Oh, dude, when he goes off on Deadpool in the car or the van, I was like, that's his Oscar clip right there.
Yeah. And because it's what's cool, too, is he is Logan, but he is playing the character differently. He's way more bitter. He's way more resentful. And there is that moment with X-23 where she says, That's why we picked you, because you were never the right guy. And there's just something about it, you know, in his physical command of it. I mean, there's funny jokes where, you know, Deadpool says, oh, this is why you're wearing this costume, because your dad bod's gotten away from you. And then at the end of the movie where he shows up and he's completely shredded and he's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. And I love Canadian Deadpool or the Nice Pool or whatever.
Nice Pool, Deadpool basically gets him murdered on purpose so he can have his dog. Oh, yeah, God.
As Logan even says, is that on purpose?
You can't regenerate? What's regenerate power? Coughing up blood. And then drags him back through to get shot again.
Yeah, just because it's awesome. Because even that scene's awesome with all the Deadpools, and they fucking eviscerate them, and then they all come back together.
That scene, I was like, they know Deadpools regenerate. Like, why are they even bothering with this? But it was fun.
Yeah, and then they decide to stop fighting because Deadpool's sidekick shows up.
Peter, he has like huge balls.
Yeah,
in his suit. Yeah,
and what's the name of the TVA lady, Raven's Slayer? Gosh darn it.
Renslayer?
Yeah, Renslayer, where she's all in love with Peter, too.
Yeah. Also, I thought, Peter and, a bunch of the characters from Deadpool 2 that got, killed in Deadpool 2, where Peter died, right? He got,
Yeah, but remember, he went back in time. He fucked with time and went back. Because Shatterstar dies and he's there too.
Yeah, Shatterstar. I was like, I thought they died. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, he fixed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. And yeah, the fight inside the minivan was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's great when they pull back and Deadpool's all tied up in seatbelts. Yeah.
Yeah. Such a confined space. And he has that scene. Hugh Jackman, where he just eviscerates Deadpool, but then later on, where he's with Cassandra and he's you know, explaining why he's the way he is. It's so fucking good. Yeah. I mean, there's also besides, I mean, Wesley Snipes being in this is crazy because,
dude, all those people being in this is crazy.
Like
Jennifer Garner back and, like it's, they got Gambit in there, Channing Tatum to be Gambit. Like he never even had a movie.
Henry Cavill as a fucking Wolverine.
Oh yeah. And like, yeah, all those Wolverine variants, like comic accurate Wolverine, like my audience is like roared at.
Oh dude, my audience is going crazy in this movie.
Yeah. But yeah, like all those, like, and then like in the Wasteland, like they had Juggernaut, but they're like whatever version of Juggernaut it is this week or something. Like,
yeah,
because they couldn't get Vinnie Jones back, I guess. I don't know why they couldn't make that happen. Yeah, but I was also like, you know, once they show Cassandra Cain can like rip Johnny Storm's skin off, I was like, why is she pulling like Wolverine through the dirt? You know?
Yeah,
like she could do that to everybody, right?
Well, I mean, I guess technically they can regenerate, right? Wolverine and Deadpool.
Yeah, but like she could also just pull his adamantium apart, right?
Like, yeah, she's that powerful. I guess she could, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then, yeah, so there's that. And then there's also like, you know, the whole thing with Vanessa being like wanting him to be a hero, kind of forcing him to find like a better job. I was like, that's kind of in the face of the first movie where they're kind of like loved each other for not like being the best people, you know? So yeah. It's weird that she had that turn and that like that was the impetus for him to like go to different universe to try to apply for. Yeah. It's like it's weird that he suddenly like, and also being like reluctant to even start the X-Force, you know? Mm-hmm. He was saying like, I want to be a part of a team. I want to be an Avenger. It's like, didn't seem like in character, but I don't know. Maybe he changed.
I'd lose my mind if Robert Downey Jr. showed up in this film. I kept on expecting him to. But yeah, it's just a fun movie. And I wanted to have fun and I had tons of fun watching it.
Yeah.
And that's just what I needed. Because, you know, it seems, yeah, like I said earlier, I was waiting so long for a movie like this and it finally came and it delivered. And it was fun. Like I had a lot of fun and, you know, Ryan Reynolds is so good in it and Hugh Jackman is great. And I love that they also set up that, I mean, Hugh Jackman might even be in other Marvel movies now.
Yeah, maybe like, I know he has that line at the end where he goes, probably not, but, yeah, he seems open to it, but like, I don't know if I want them to like, test that too much, you know, like Logan was so great and then like he gets away with this one, you know, it's like don't flirt with coming up with a bad one, you know, go out
sure
while you're on top. So
yeah, I can see him in an Avengers movie though. We'll see though. I mean, yeah, because yeah. You know what's cool about this film too is it's really self-contained. There's really no it doesn't have any big pushing the agenda forward. You know, to me, it feels like it was just like a palate cleanse for Marvel. And now they're going to have, you know, Captain America, the Brave New World kind of reset the Marvel tone. And then you have Fantastic Four and maybe Blade or the Thunderbolts, then Fantastic Four. I forget how their release schedule is going
to
go, but
I was actually kind of frustrated there weren't any consequences to it. Like, you know, I know Cassandra was going to annihilate everything except for the void, but like, I felt like they could have gotten away with like, oh, she did prune a bunch of stuff, and so now we don't have to worry about the multiverse as much going forward. So
yeah,
but also I mean, like,
I'll still be interested to see how it works out. But
isn't Loki sitting around there actually controlling the multiverse? So like, why wasn't he stepping in to like stop her from pruning? That was another question I had.
Yeah. Well, I guess when it's more of mainstream Marvel, quote unquote. Yeah. You should see this movie. It's awesome. Hey, this is the big movie news of the week.
It's real news.
So Marvel did the ultimate fucking reveal at Comic-Con this week, where Robert Downey Jr. is coming back to play Victor Von Doom as Dr. Doom in the next two Avenger movies. And all I can say is it actually shocked me, that reveal.
Yeah. Make it make sense, Ryan.
Yeah. The only thing I can say is, you know, Corinne and some people have said, why would you have Robert Downey Jr. come back if they don't play off of him some being some evil variant of Tony Stark? Which I don't know if I would go that route.
Yeah, like no one wants to see like an evil Tony Stark, right?
Yeah.
I imagine he's just there to like be the performance, right?
Yeah, and I think so too, because
like he's still Victor Von Doom, but
yeah, and Doom pretty much wears a mask the whole time. So
yeah.
You know, you're getting him for his ability to be an actor, because in Oppenheimer, he's pretty much the villain in that movie. And he's fucking awesome in it. So I don't think you touch the Tony Stark thing. You literally just saw it with Chris Evans and Human Torch and Captain America. I mean, you can be an actor and play different roles. And, you know, I'm not a fan with him being Tony Stark. I like him just being Victor Von Doom and, you know, a genius scientist who happens to be the dictator of a world.
Just throw him behind the mask, distort his voice, and it's like, it's not Tony Stark. It's Victor Von Doom.
Yeah, because, you obviously, when you play it, you're not going to be quick-witted. I'm guessing he's going to be cold and calculated.
Right.
Because Doom in the comics is never funny. He's very driven, and he's constantly voted as the greatest comic book villain of all time, just because he's so complicated, and he hates Reed Richards. So I'd be shocked if he doesn't make some sort of appearance in Fantastic Four. I don't know how they're going to pull it off, but obviously they've probably already written it somewhat and have a plan for him being in the film, because they must have saw your poster, Brad. Because the new Avengers movie is called Doomsday, and they're just, stealing it from you.
Yeah, I just, sitting there on Saturday just thinking, like, Doomsday, Doomsday, Doomsday. Like, I don't know, this just popped into my head. It's like someone's trying to tell me something. I'll use this for a movie, yeah.
Yeah, and how they pulled it off, and, you're not allowed to film the panels, but somehow all that footage leaked of Robert Downey Jr. Taking off the mask. And
weird.
Yeah, I don't know how it got leaked. but it was definitely one of the most shocking things that's come out of Comic-Con in forever.
Yeah. Plus too, like, that's an expensive ad to universe. Like, he kind of getting him out of Endgame was like, we don't have to pay this guy $50 million a movie anymore. So, like, yeah, he's got to be more expensive now.
Oh, yeah. Did you read? You must have not read the article on Variety. Do you know how much they're paying him?
No.
$120 million.
Oh, man, that's better. Yeah. I mean, maybe you can get away with one, but if he's going to be a lasting character in this universe, that's that's expensive.
Yeah, well, he's mentioned he'll always come back. I mean, the money's nice, but
120 million from what might just be a voiceover performance.
Yeah. I think he's going to be in it, because Variety had this whole breakdown of what it entails, and he has his own trailer, which you think he would anyways, but, so I'm guessing he's going to be on set and stuff. So I'm going to be really interested to see how they play this, because you know, they're a little behind the eight ball. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited. We watch things throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Just one thing. I finally saw the Coen Brothers movie Blood Simple.
Oh, that's an old one.
Yeah. Yeah. 84. It's part of the Alamo's 84 series. And yeah, I thought it was good. Not the movie I imagined, I guess, from like all the stuff I've seen over time. But I think, like the end, or like the kind of like how it ends is like all the twists and turns are actually the most interesting part of it. It's about, these two characters that are like having an affair and this bar owner, who, catches them, finds out about it, tries to have them killed. And then the hitman he hires kills him and runs off with his money. And then there's like a whole chain of events, like all the, you know, fallout of that, like evidence wise kind of leads to a comedy of errors of misunderstanding. Things don't go the way anyone expected. So, and it's like a real slow burn type of movie. And yeah,
it definitely set the groundwork for the Coen brothers for sure. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it's one of those films that I always enjoyed, because it's an older one, but very telling about how their filmography would play out over the next 40 years now.
Yeah. Like a lot of, they made a lot of movies like this, but with like more comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's very, very like more serious. Yeah. Not a lot to laugh in. It's pretty dark and like mean. So that's what I watched.
Yeah. I only watched one thing this week too. My kid is playing this really dumb game called Dreams, where it's user created games. And so there's a lot of crap in it. And he found this one called The Bad Luck Leprechaun. And he says, oh, he's so scary. I said, do you want to watch a movie with the real scary leprechaun? And he said, yeah, sure. So I put in the 1992 Warwick Davis leprechaun movie. And my kid liked it because it's, you know, it's not a scary movie. It's a little gory, but it's totally stupid. Have you seen the Leprechaun films, Brad?
I think I have. That's one with Jennifer Aniston, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've only seen part of it. And that's where, like, this was as a kid, like the leprechaun falls like in a record player and gets like shredded.
Nope.
No. Okay. Something else then.
Yeah. No, this one, they steal his gold. So he has to get it back. So the big thing is you want me gold. And it, you know, when he doesn't have all his gold, he doesn't have all his powers. So he just goes around killing people, trying to get his gold back. And, you know, as the leprechaun want to do, I don't know. It's one of those guilty pleasure movies for me. It was definitely one I would rent at Blockbuster all the time because it was always in the heyday of, you know, the direct to video horror films at Blockbuster, even though this one went into theaters and I think it made like $8 million. So it's a silly movie. And I wanted to be a bad father for a night, so I showed it to my kid. And that's literally all I watched this week.
Right on.
Next week, we are seeing Fly Me to the Moon. So we hope to see you at the theaters at some point next week. And Filmsplosion 1994 is going to happen, I believe, in 2 weeks, Brad, if my calendar is right. Is that what you got?
In 2 weeks?
Yeah, because I think next week is something we want to see, if I remember right. I don't have to look at the release calendar.
Week I will be out of town. I'll be out of town. 2 weeks I'll be out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But just start thinking of those lists.
But we are definitely overdue on Filmsplosion, so they're coming.
Yep. Until next week, we'll see you at the movies.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast, Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!